You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, Big Daddy, how you doing?
That is an album by Outkast, Alonzo.
Is it? Okay, well, I don't have my glasses on, and that is a little bit distance to read. It's a weird thing. I can read at certain distances. Like, if it was further away, I could see it. But that's just right in the window right there where I struggle a little. And unlike Diesel, I'm not wearing my glasses all the time. I'm just not doing it. It hurts too bad. It would make me an angry person on the radio, a mean person on the radio, someone who is snarky and cutting, and that would the audience would not like that.
We all want the continued, ever sunny and always kind disposition of the great one, not anything else.
I'm a winner. I know how to win.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show rolling into our number three of the Rob Brown Show. Rob, Lonzo, you the fan upstate. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. Time for the audio blitz. Some of the best audio that we have picked up over the past couple of days. Still have some audio from Super Bowl weekend. We're gonna be thick on the audio blitz the next couple of days because... there's been a lot of great stuff happening.
We're going to be thick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I said what I said, and I'm not backing off. Okay? I'm just going to own it and roll with it. So let's get some sound in here. I want to start with, I like when athletes get to just be dumb and have fun. This came from last week. The Pat McAfee Show was on Radio Row in New Orleans, Louisiana, doing their show live. And one of the things they did, and I appreciated this because I just like the idea of participation, was they had a microphone set up out in the crowd so that basically they could just grab anybody walking by. They didn't have to bring them up on stage, set them up with a mic, set them in a chair, whatever. They're just like, hey, talk into that mic right there. And they could just interview anybody that was coming by, which led to some really interesting interviews. They had the governor of Louisiana on. They started talking about gator hunting and cooking up gators and whatnot. It was great. Well,
yeah, they've done that a couple of years, and I always thought, is this planned, or do people actually just – I think they do have some planned
things.
Like
I think the governor is scheduled. He doesn't just roll
because
by.
Because I'm just saying – that governor walks up, chances are they probably don't know who he
is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some of them are planned, but I also think some of them are not. I think it's just a matter of, because where they are set up, I was talking to Cody Decker about it. He was actually down there doing his SiriusXM show from Radio Row. And he said that all of the big time network productions, Eisen, Patrick, McAfee, etc., they're all kind of over in like big time you section, right? Like they're all together.
And they have like the recreation of their studios right there. So
they're all kind of together off to the side. And then of course that would be where the big time guests congregate, right? And then they come over to the little us, the little peons like us over elsewhere.
Where was Cody?
kind of in the middle. Sirius XM's kind of a big deal. Okay. You know?
Kind of a big deal. I was just curious.
Yeah, so he was kind of set up towards where the big network. He had some good interviews. He had Emmett Smith on. He had Andre Whitworth came on his show. He had a number of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that came by. I think he had Peyton on for a segment. Like, he had guys for sure. He's kind of in that mid-tier. Anyway, the reason I believe it is for real, and if it was not for real, then whoever crafted this segment deserves a master raise. Pat McAfee Show is sponsored by Pizza Hut. Nobody out pizzas the Hut. Sponsored by Pizza Hut.
Bundle Bros. I like that commercial. That was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
He put Gronk where he should be. That's the cut. That is his wheelhouse. he fit perfectly in there.
So as the McAfee fellas are doing the show, overrules one of Lonzo and I's favorite NFL players that doesn't play for either one of our teams, San Francisco 49er tight end George Kittle, who was wearing a shirt with the Little Caesars logo on it. Listen, I don't know how to express to you, and I'm going to be judged for this, and I'm totally fine with that. I don't know how to tell you how happy it makes me that we have entered this era of sports broadcasting where we're just allowed to have fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's sports.
I am curious. I mean, I thought that was great, but I am curious about, I don't think Little Caesars would care.
They got a huge pop.
Little Caesars seems like a company that does it. I mean, they know they're cheap pizza and they're okay with it.
Yeah.
That's how they're making their money. But Pizza Hut might be a
Do you want pizza for $5 or don't you? Right? And for the record,
do people and when you go pay the money for that, you don't complain about it.
No.
Because you know what you're getting when you go get it.
Listen, I'm saying this and I mean this. Once every 2 months or so, the wife and I are like, can we just get a Little Caesars on the way home? Give me that Cajun crust. Let's call it a day. All right? I'm team Little Caesars.
Wait a minute. Cajun crust.
Yeah. Aren't they the one with the seasons crust?
Well, they have that. If you order it. Yeah.
You get the Cajun crust.
By the way, they actually have thin crust at Little Caesars. You have to order it specially, but it's good.
See, I like the Little Caesars that I can pull up to a drive-thru window, hand somebody a $5 bill, and be on my way home with a big old fat pepperoni pizza. I'm all in. All right? I don't have to wait. You know, I'm a Papa John's guy when it comes to delivery. All right, I'm straight up. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a Papa John's guy. But there are days when I don't want to wait 45 minutes to get my pizza brought to me. I just want to grab one that somebody who hates their life hands me out of a drive-thru window for $5. I'm going to go home. I'm going to gorge myself. I'm going to go to sleep and wake up tomorrow and hate myself. I love Little Caesars. If that was a work, whoever came up with that concept for Little Caesars deserves $1 billion. It was brilliant. I am just glad that we have entered this era in sports broadcasting where it's okay to have fun, man. Like, sports are supposed to be fun. I get so tired of take everything so serious, guys, on the radio. You want to know? This is real. In fact, I was told this less than a year ago. You want to know why Rob Brown will have, and I got this from somebody who makes hiring decisions for a major radio station in a major city. I got told, I love you. I love your style. I love your show. You want to know why you'll never come work for me in this big time city? And I said, yes, I do. Why? And he said, because you're not serious. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, your show is too fun. Can't have that in a big city. Can't have that. Can't have that in a big city. You can have that in the podcast world. You can have that in smaller communities, but you cannot in a Chicago, New York, L.A. You can't have that laid back, goofy. Name me one.
Damon Amendola. Before he left, he went to Sirius XM supposedly for more money.
D.A. did fun segments. Yes, he did. But D.A. did not do a big time New York show. He did a national syndication. You can get away with it on a national syndication.
Okay.
You can't get away with it in New York.
Which would you rather do? A show in a big city or a nationally syndicated show?
I don't care. I want to do my show.
Okay. Well, yeah, again, right. But I think I think a nationally syndicated show is above a show in a big city.
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of like the ultimate goal. But the thing is, very rarely do you get picked up from, I mean, listen, I love this market. We're a top, what, top 60 market in the country? 50, I think.
Okay, you're going to force me to throw out someone who used to work here who has a national show. You have a national show. And it's not on the level of where you want to be yet.
Hang on. I agree. Whose show was more serious, his or mine? His show was a serious show. Hey, you guys had fun on it, but it was a very serious show, in my opinion. At least compared to this one.
You're not going to like my answer.
You think his show was more fun?
No, I think it's about the same.
Okay, that's fair.
I think
fair.
It's about the same. It's a different kind of humor. His is more what he would call sophisticated humor, but it's still just as silly.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, there are silly things that he did on his show that are still being done on this station in that time slot.
Either way, I think it's just
you
awesome.
You made me defend him.
I know.
Now I need to shower.
Either way, I think it is fantastic that we've entered this area where this era in broadcasting where we just get to have a little fun. The Golden State Warriors.
By the way,
Warriors,
Stream, he's not Voldemort. I could say his name if I wanted to.
The Golden State Warriors added Jimmy Butler to the roster after or during before. How does time work? Before the trade deadline. Two incredible clips have come after that. First off, Jimmy Buckets joined, and his first press conference, he got asked a question about chemistry with the Dubs. How do you fit in with the Dubs, Jimmy Buckets? That's easy. Pass to Steph and get out of the way. And here's the thing, after watching game number one, he wasn't kidding. But here's why I like this, because there's a lot of folks that reacted. They're like, wait a minute, buddy. You got brought there to be a star. You got brought there to be the catalyst. You got brought there to be the guy that took this team and elevated them to a new level. I need y'all to know, give the ball to Steph and get out of the way is how Jimmy Buckets does that. Because what does Jimmy Butler do? Get the ball to Steph, get out of the way. Then what happens? He brings people with him. Just by being Jimmy Butler and existing, he brings people with him. Steph Curry had more looks in Jimmy Buckets' first game, had more looks at open or lightly contested threes than he had in probably five or six games leading up to that, just because Jimmy Buckets was on the floor. And if guys start going, hey, Jimmy Butler's not going to the rack, we don't have to guard him, what happens the second that they decide to leave the defense shaded to Steph Curry? Wango bango, get it to Jimmy Buckets, let him drive and slam. Real easy. However, there's an interesting stat about the Golden State Warriors that I think is the reason that they brought Jimmy Buckets into Golden State, and Steph got asked about it. That was the loudest sigh I've ever heard. Wait, that was what? 1-20 when trailing after the third.
Is he playing it off like he didn't know that? Does he really not know that?
You can see it.
So locked in that you don't notice that there are trends happening like that?
I mean, listen, I think all of us have been enlightened to a trend that we go, wait, what? What now? You can see him because he's like looking at the reporter. He's kind of like haphazard, because they just lost the game, right? He's looking at the reporter. Reporter's like, hey, Steph, you guys are 1-20 when trailing after the third. Why can't you come back? And he does this. So, like, his head comes up, and his eyes get this big, and he goes, what? The guy goes, yeah, 1-20. He goes, sheesh. It was great. Like, he had this look like, okay. Then he asked the dude to clarify the stat. The dude clarifies the stat, and that tapping that you heard was Steph going like this. Just like lost in thought. Incredible. Incredible moment. That Steph Curry had no idea where they were. Let me get one more in here before we head to the break. Which one do I want to go? Oh, hey, you know what? We were doing... you know what? I'm going to come back to this. We were doing a debate on Eli Manning earlier in the show. Kind of led to who in sports do we need to apologize to? And I want to get back to that Manning first ballot debate, because that was after last Thursday, a debate that I honestly did not think was a debate. I was like, yeah, like nobody thinks Eli's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? And then I did my show on Saturday, and Double D, our Saturday producer, said to me that he thought Eli, as a non-first ballot guy, he said he believes it is the biggest snub in the history of the Hall of Fame. I'm like, a little dramatic, but I get it. It's recency bias. But this got apparently debated a lot over the weekend. So we're going to address that with a couple of clips. I got some more from Emmett Smith, who was like all of a sudden a media superstar on Radio Row. We're talking about that coming up later on the show. And Joe Mazzulla remains the funniest man in the history of the NBA. All that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling through the audio blitz, some of the best audio we've picked up over the last couple of days. We continue with this. Some of us, Lonzo and I, both very fortunate to qualify in this group. Some of us got very lucky in our selection of a life partner. Some of us got very lucky. Some of us didn't. Some of you guys, unfortunately for you, ended up with the person. And this is not gendered, because I know women in my life who were stuck in the same boat, got unfortunately placed into a position where you are with a life partner who just doesn't get it. It's a tough spot. And worse, as bad as that is for you, it's worse for your friends, yeah? Like, it's worse for your sports-loving friends. The men, the women who love you, but they also love football. And, you know, they like Lonzo and I. A good solid chunk of their life revolves around football. Kylie Kelce is the wife of Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce has obviously become a sports media superstar since his retirement with the Philadelphia Eagles a couple of years ago. His wife, Kylie, has kind of done the same. Kylie Kelce has, to some degree, stepped out onto her own, become her own person, her own individual, and has really kind of created her own, I don't know, brand, I guess is the right way to put it, like her own brand. Well, Kylie Kelce has started her own podcast at this point. And on her podcast, she does kind of like a Kelce style podcast, but also has a style that speaks to the ladies, right? Kind of speaks to the gals, and I think that's important. I think that there should be room for voices everywhere. Kylie Kelce. Is this, did I lose the clip? Sure did. Well, anyway, that was going to be fun. Kylie Kelce did a whole take where she talks to, she says, for those of you that listen to me, but you listen to my pod, not for my football takes, but for my life takes, because her pod's kind of like a sports and women's life pod. She explains from a football wife's perspective the mentality that goes into the friendships, men's and women's, built over football, built over sports. And she's like, just keep in mind that while you think it's weird that your husband or your wife says what up to every person that they pass wearing the logo, just know that's how brotherhood is built. That's how sisterhood is built. I played the clip for Lonzo this morning before we started the show, and Kylie said, look, if you got a neighbor, and she uses the Birds because they're Philly fans, obviously. If you got a neighbor that every time the husband goes out or every time the wife goes out, they go, what up, go Birds? Just know that's the person that's going to come over and prevent the porch pirates from getting your package. They're the ones who are looking out for you. And I respect that. Commendable for Kylie Kelce to put that out on behalf of people like us.
Does that also work for if they're big time college fans? So if someone says Roll Tide after everything, do you expect them to come over and help you with your trash and all that kind of stuff?
No, but you know what it is? It's that tribalism aspect, right? Like if you share the logo with me, I know you, especially like for a Saints fan, if you share the logo with me, I can infer a couple of things about you. Number one, I can infer, you know the struggle. You know where we are. You know where we've been. You know the struggle. I know that you're sad during football season like I am. Number two, I know that if you're willing to go out and wear the logo, you're probably somebody who likes to have a good time, likes to have a little fun, likes to mingle, likes to mix it up, likes to have a little bit of a social life. You're probably somebody I'm going to get along with.
Well, as I think this year, more so than any other year since I've been here, have I heard walking wherever I'm at, OH. And this was before the national championship, but I think each person who said that to me, and I owed them, I looked at them, and there was kind of a look like we got this year, and it was kind of like a quiet confidence that we're going to win the championship this year. I'd be interested to see if that happens again next year.
I'm going to tell you this: if I go to the grocery store, I go to the mall, I go out wherever, if I see somebody in a Florida Lee, and I go, "Yo, who dat?" and they don't say anything back to me. Infuriated. I'm like, dog, really? Take off the logo.
I missed an IO once or twice, and Elisa got on me. I was like, I didn't hear them.
Good. You I deserved did. It.
Well, sometimes if you don't hear them, I mean, you know.
Let's see. Let's go with this. Oh, this one's for Lonzo. Julian Edelman had comedian Bill Burr on his show. I'm a big Bill Burr guy. Love Bill Burr.
Okay, you've listened to this.
I've listened
many times?
To it. You're good. I promise I got it.
Yeah, you've done that before.
Bill Burr was on with Julian Edelman, and they discussed Lonzo's favorite.
So, how good was his team?
Real good.
Were they?
Never won a Super Bowl.
Okay, because
But again,
you know, it's quarterback. It's winning is not a quarterback stat.
Correct.
So how good was his team? So he was that good, but he couldn't win.
Dolphins could win.
Okay. All right.
The Dolphins could
okay.
win.
Okay. All right.
But Bill, I'm going to go ahead and say.
So probably comparing him to Josh Allen's a good comparison.
I'm going to go ahead
Josh
and
Josh Allen couldn't get it done.
Hasn't gotten it done yet.
Lamar Jackson hasn't gotten it done. Well, hopefully they don't end up like Dan Marino. A has-been and never got it done.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say, and this is true for both of us. I'm going to say Julian Edelman probably knows quarterbacks better than you and me.
That is the cleanest he's ever talked in his entire life.
Well, he's also up against Bill Burr.
By the way,
so.
Yeah, I was more worried about Edelman than I was Burr. And that's saying a lot.
Oh, yeah, it is saying a lot.
Have you seen Edelman on other podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I need you to know.
There are so many bombs hidden. It's like you need interpretation.
I want you to know. I have asked for and yet to receive. I'm not saying it's over. The quest continues. I have asked to be allowed to do an uncensored podcast. It's coming one day. One day. Coming down the pipe. We ain't there yet. And I want Julian Edelman on it. And Bill Burr. But we'll see how it goes. Joe Mazzulla was asked about a five-second violation called against Jalen Brown, a offensive player that Jalen Brown was D'ing up. And then the call, it was like a whole bunch of drama about the five-second call. Effectively, Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, not happy with the officiating on that five-second call. So in the post-game presser after that game, Joe Mazzulla got asked about it. Joe Mazzulla might be the funniest man in sports. And I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know if he's got that comedic timing. I don't know if he's got that like down to a science. Joe Mazzulla might be the funniest. That man just answered five consecutive questions. Yep, yep, yes, yep, yep. That's... You know, when I say I don't like coaching cliches, when I say I want coaches who don't engage in coach speak, this isn't exactly what I mean, but I'll take it. That's hilarious. I love this cat. What else we got? Oh, how about Eli Manning having a conversation? Eli posted a picture on the Instagram where apparently, Eli Manning posted a picture of him holding up on a boat a yellowfin tuna, like a good fish. As a fisherman who used to catch tuna, a good fish. And a few minutes later, Tom Brady posted a picture of him holding a lane snapper. What do you think, red snapper? You think like a bit. Lane snappers are like miniature version of red snappers. They don't take anything to catch. They're real dumb fish. You drop hook, fish bite hook, you reel it up. It takes no strength, no energy. It's a good fish. It's a good eating fish. But like there's no skill to catch it. You literally just put anything on a hook, drop it down, you catch a lane snapper. Brady took a picture. You know how sometimes the ladies on Instagram will take a selfie to show, like, here I am at my favorite restaurant. But they always take it from this angle so that they show off certain assets. You know what I'm saying? Brady did that. The fish was, like, down in the bottom corner, but it was just him super jacked and ripped with his shirt off. And Eli Manning took exception to Tom Brady using his platform to show that he is still a shredded individual. Eli put on Brady's picture, nice minnow, which is hilarious to me. But I'm going to go ahead and say every one of us, you all know who it is, every one of us has that one friend that's just too good at life, too handsome, attractive, successful, whatever. And sometimes those people get a bit of an ego. That ego swells up the head a little bit, right? They get a little big-headed. Sometimes they need that reality check. Sometimes somebody's got to step in and be like, dude, yes, we all know you're very handsome. You're very successful. You're a good looking guy. You got it made. Stop. You're being too much. You're being extra. Quit being extra right now. I am here for the Mannings constantly putting Tom Brady in check. Because that man's got, I love Tom Brady, the player. That man's got too much. We get it, Tom. We get it. Relax. We get it. I'm here for Eli Manning to be the voice of reason for Tom Brady. Lonzo's that voice of reason for me. He's the Eli Manning to my Tom Brady. I'm glad Eli Manning is being the Eli Manning to Tom Brady's Tom Brady. I respect it. Hey, speaking of Tom Brady, when we come back, Greg Olson spoke out about losing his first team chair on Fox to Brady. We're going to hear about that. And drama between Steve Smith Sr. and Cam Newton. Ooh. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We were talking earlier in the show about Eli Manning. On Friday, we very briefly discussed the fact that Eli Manning was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I came in here and I said, I don't know that anybody is going to be shocked by that. I don't think Eli Manning is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I absolutely think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. I think Eli Manning is definitively going in the Hall of Fame. And frankly, I think Eli Manning is definitively going in the Hall of Fame next year.
See, and I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of things about how his stats were horrible every single year, and all he has are the Super Bowl wins. I'm curious to see if those Super Bowl wins carry him to being in the Hall of Fame. Because I remember him getting benched like twice in the same year, I think it was. I just remember a lot of him always being okay but not great.
I don't disagree with that, but keep in mind, when Eli got benched, it was because they had drafted QBF, and the Giants are, and I've done the research, an inept organization. Okay? I stand by that to this day.
Did he get benched for Kurt Warner? I'm trying to remember who he got benched for.
No, it was Danny Dimes' first year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Danny Dimes' first year. And they thought he was QB1 of the future. And Eli, I will acknowledge, Eli was not having a great year. But the Giants, and this is true, sucked a lot. So they were like, well, let's just go ahead and get QBF. And they benched him because they ended his streak of, 7,000 consecutive starts or whatever it was. Eli Manning is 11th in the NFL's all-time passing list. He is 11th in all-time passing touchdowns. He ended his career with a passer rating career of 84.1, which is in the, like, really, really good but not, like, great category. Eli Manning's a guy who was a good regular season quarterback who also has two Super Bowls. And that, to me, is the reason that Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer.
By the way, it was the opposite. Kurt Warner got benched for Eli Manning.
That's what it was.
Okay,
at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then Eli got benched, ending his consecutive start streak for Danny Dimes. And, by the way, another reason I'm happy to say Eli is absolutely a guy I would get behind. Remember, he didn't go out there and raise hell about it. Frankly, he should have. But he didn't. He didn't raise hell about it. He just went, okay, if that's what the team thinks is best.
Sat on the bench and didn't close his mouth.
100%.
It's
100%. He could have absolutely been an absolute drama queen, and he just sat back and he took it. And I'm good with that. I appreciated it as much as I hated it. I appreciated it.
That's what his dad was for. His dad fought all those battles for.
So, with that being said, not a first ballot guy, and I argued that last Friday. The first ballot Hall of Famer nickname or title or whatever you want to call it, the first ballot Hall of Fame title, that is the Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame. There are Hall of Famers. You, sir, are an NFL Hall of Famer. And then there's you, sir, a first ballot NFL Hall of Famer. That means you are in the Hall of Fame of being in the Hall of Fame. You are the best of the best. You're in the 1%. You are the guy that made it to the status. You're the guy that made it to the status of household name. That's first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't think that's Eli as a football player. Well, I got on the show Saturday, Bet for the Cycle, with myself and Cody Decker. And it turns out, I was shocked to learn, that there were a lot of people who had some very strong emotions about it. Found a couple of debates. I start with this one. Evan Roberts is a host on Brother Station WFAN in New York. He was on the air with noted Eli Manning teammate Tiki Barber, and they had the conversation.
All right, I'm very disappointed because you have never used the word aplomb before.
I know.
Doesn't that bother you?
Yeah.
As a haughty intellectual,
yeah.
The fact that Tiki Barber went aplomb before you did.
I'm a little let down in myself. I'm a little bothered by that. Self-confidence or assurance, especially when in a demanding situation. That's a good word. It's going to go into the lexicon today. Thank you, Tiki Barber. I want to start with this. I don't necessarily agree with the first take from Evan there that he wasn't a great regular season quarterback. I think he was a very good regular season quarterback. Would I put him up there with Breeze, Brady, Manning? No, sure wouldn't. That's why he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Can't put him up there with Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen either.
Yeah.
Those guys are great regular season quarterbacks.
Eli Manning is 100% getting in because Eli Manning took an otherwise, again, inept organization to the Super Bowl and through the Super Bowl not once but twice. Very few quarterbacks have done that. He is a Hall of Famer. But first ballot? No. No. Because winning the Super Bowl is absolutely something that can polish the resume. But as I do not hold not winning the Super Bowl against a quarterback, because wins and losses are not a quarterback stat, I also am not going to have Super Bowls unless you win like a fistful of them, like Patrick Mahomes is going to do, maybe. It can polish the resume, but to me it doesn't detract from the resume. He's absolutely a Hall of Famer. Those Super Bowl rings polished an otherwise good career to Hall of Fame level. But it does not make him a first ballot guy. Adam Schefter and Dan Orlovsky had the discussion. Oh, that's who it was. It was Shefty. So, Shefty says he's not surprised that Eli isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. if for no other reason then there's a group of people out there, and I do believe that these people are wrong, but there's enough of them that it matters. A group of people out there who think Eli is not a Hall of Famer at all. And he said, when you have that large a group of people that think he shouldn't be in the Hall at all, then it is no shock that he's not a first ballot guy. And I agree with that. He said, but you can't tell the story of the NFL without including Eli Manning. And I agree with that too. He is the one guy that kept Tom Brady from the one accomplishment that Tom Brady did not get. Well, I guess there was two. The three-peat and an undefeated season. And Eli was the reason, honestly, for both of those things not happening for Tom Brady. So I do think that you can utilize the, you can't tell the story of the league without him. But I would also make the point that I think there's a handful of quarterbacks you could have put on that Giants team that could have beat the Patriots. I also think Tom Brady had a crappy day that day. Well, not crappy day, a Tom Brady crappy day, which is still a really good day. Point here is, that is a, to me, good argument for why Eli Manning is not a first ballot guy. I love Eli Manning. The Mannings are royalty to my family. Football has more than one royal family. And the Mannings are it to me. I love Eli, love Peyton, love Archie, love Coop. Hell, in a weird way, there's a part of me hoping that the prophecy is fulfilled when Arch comes to New Orleans and finally gets the ring that Grandpappy couldn't. I'm pulling for him. That being said, not a first ballot guy. And I was genuinely on Saturday blown away because I really thought that both Cody Decker and Double D were going to be on my side saying, of course, Eli Manning's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer is the Hall of Fame of being in the Hall of Fame. Of course, Eli Manning's not in that group. And both of them said that they thought it was highway robbery that Eli wasn't a first ballot guy.
I think if you, and this is just an opinion, if you work in New York or have ties to New York, a lot of times you automatically go with that.
See, I'm good with that, except for Decker's like you. There's nothing he, well, and like me in this case particularly, there's nothing he likes more than pooping on New York fans because he's a troll, and it works great. He loves telling New York fans. For the record, with a couple of rare exceptions, New York sports are sad most of the time. They're sad. The Yankees are sad. They can't win the World Series. The Mets are sad. They had the highest payroll in the history of Major League Baseball, didn't make the playoffs that year. The Rangers, the Islanders, the Knicks, the Nets, they're just all sad. And Deck loves to remind them of how sad it must be to be a New York sports fan. Sorry, Chris Lewis, please don't hurt me. He agreed with the take. He thought Eli Manning should have been, in fact, he said, I thought he was a lock first ballot guy. I absolutely did not. But the shock for me wasn't that Eli wasn't a first ballot guy. The shock for me was how many people thought he was.
By the way, I didn't think he was, but I was shocked when I saw the announcement of who made it in and the fact that he didn't. I was like, oh. Because I just, you know, some of these things I have, I believe are shady as far as voting and stuff goes. And I think there are favorites that have been favorites that, oh, that guy's getting in. Everyone, all those guys loved that guy. And then read that there was only four. I was like, wait, what? Eli Manning didn't get in?
Yeah, I will say this. I do think of the Halls of Fames, I think the NFL is the most protective of theirs. I do think the NFL is very protective of theirs. There's a lot of names. If you're looking down the candidate list of candidates who haven't gotten in, there's a lot of guys on there. You're like, I thought we loved that guy.
Hey, it took Sterling Sharp forever to get on there. And the fact that he made it in, that was also a shocker that he finally made it in. And names that have been on there for a while, like you're saying, and then they actually get in. It's like, why did it take so long?
Yeah. If they were, if the NFL allowed people into the Hoff via we love that guy, Luke Kuechly would have been in.
I think who,
but was he's it, not a first ballot guy.
Was it Lynn Swann that took forever to get
Lynn
in?
Lynn Swann, I think, took a very long time. Another guy that, you know, had a stellar broadcasting career, an ambassador career after he left
and was
football.
Amazing in Waterboy.
Was so, amazing in Waterboy. Yeah. And for the record, loved by everybody. Everybody loved Lynn Swann. Took him a long time. So I think it's very protective, and that's why I think they got this decision right. All right, we got 1 hour left to go. Coming up in the final hour, we're going to get into everything we haven't gotten into yet. Luka Doncic's debut with the Lake Show last night. South Carolina women's loss to Texas. Clemson's men's win over North Carolina and more. All of that after the national championship winner of Sports Flashes, Lonzo.
Or at least the South Carolina winner. The Clemson Tigers remain undefeated against teams from Tobacco Road after 20.85-65 win over North Carolina at home last night. Tigers were led by 22 from big man Victor Locken, who went 4-5 from deep, and another 19 from Chase Hunter. The Tigers shot 50% from the floor and 48% from range while holding the Tar Heels to just 4 of 19 from deep. Former Maverick Luka Doncic made his debut for the LA Lakers last night, recording 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists in a 132-113 win over the Utah Jazz. LeBron James had 24 to go with 7 boards and 8 assists. The Lakers shot over 54% from the floor and only 11 turnovers on the night. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Mercer Bears. It's Furman versus Mercer right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.